You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Transmitted by wire.
Here is the latest news brought into your own living room.
You'll be hard to satisfy with anything less.
Let's give them something to talk about.
Talk is cheap.
Gib, gib, gib. Always gossiping.
It's the John and Gordy Show.
This is Hi-Fi Plus.
And that's the way it is.
We'll do it live.
F*** it. On 92.7 FM WMDX. Take it away, boys.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. The ball's in our court now.
Yeah. That's John Peterson. I'm Gordy Young. Sam is producing the show today. And this portion of the John and Gordy Morning Show is brought to you by Verlo Mattress. They are continuing with their President's Day sale. It continues for a while here, but you better get in on these savings. You can save up to $250, $500, or even $850 on their factory direct prices. It's amazing. And you can also save up to 50% on some of their adjustable bases.
That's a good deal.
I know.
That's a really
fantastic
good deal.
This offer is available at their East Side location, West Side location in Madison as well. Free 0% financing available for 6, 12, or even 18 months. Go to verlo.com for more information. That's verlo.com.
That's right. If you really want to get a deal, I mean, 30 to 50% off an adjustable bed base. That is fantastic. Like I say, get the base now, you know?
Right?
Don't wait until you're a senior.
No.
You're old. It's not a hospital bed anymore. It's really, it's great to have something like that and get rid of all those damn pillows to prop up your head and all this other stuff.
And they do custom bases and mattresses as well. They have circular.
Oh, really?
Yes. Yeah. They show it right on their website.
Like Matt Helm's bed?
Matt Helm, yeah. You can get
anybody, that. No one remembers Matt Helm.
I remember.
Dean Martin.
Dean Martin.
As a spy. As a secret agent.
Very, yeah. Very great show. Great movies.
Yeah.
Matt Helm.
The one I remember is The Ambushers.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, you know, we were talking earlier about Elon.
Right. Getting some texts here.
Heading out to Fort Knox.
Yeah.
Let's play a little music. Can we play Goldfinger?
Oh, okay.
There we go.
Goldfinger.
There you go.
He's going to Fort Knox.
He's going to Fort Knox.
He's the man with the Midas touch.
He wants all the gold in
yes,
the world, you know. So Musk, this is according to Mark, Musk probably wants to hire Pussy Galore and her team to help with the Fort Knox audit.
That was the name of the character.
Yeah,
in
it was.
Goldfinger.
Yeah.
Octopussy.
Yeah. Okay, now do we have the pronunciation of the individual we're going to talk about here? This is from Doug in St. Francis.
Well,
it's a philosopher.
Read Doug's text first, because we were arguing about how to pronounce this name.
Oh, yeah. Friedrich Nietzsche. Now, I've heard Nietzsche.
I think it's Nietzsche.
Okay. Is quoted as saying, "To live is to suffer." If he were alive today, he would probably be commenting that what's going on in this country right now is lowering the quality of our suffering.
So
it's getting worse.
So what is the correct pronunciation?
Yeah, what is
it's
the correct?
Nietzsche?
I've heard.
We are looking at how to pronounce the name of German philosopher, cultural critic, composer, poet, and philologist.
Say it.
Now, his name in German
yes.
would normally be pronounced Friedrich Nietzsche. Friedrich Nietzsche. However, in English, his name is normally pronounced Friedrich Nietzsche.
Well, that's exactly
it's the same one.
No difference. Friedrich Nietzsche.
Nietzsche. All right.
Nietzsche.
All right.
Now we know.
Wasn't one of the options I had, but
okay.
Great. Now we know that one. All right. Boy, throwing all of this historical information at us all at once. John and Gordy can't handle this kind of information. This is
too
information overload.
It is. The fire hose of information just keeps churning it out.
All right, let's churn this out. Okay.
All right.
This is big. Oh, this is big. This is big. 60 Minutes had this big story, and you know, a lot of megas, their heads exploded because it was just too much information for them. And it was so much truth that it just kind of killed them. But Andrew Natasius, a Republican former administrator of USAID, looked at what Elon was doing and had a few comments about it, and it was lucky that 60 Minutes went out there. You would think some of the other news media sources would be after these people to find out, you know, is this true? What do you think? But they didn't until 60 Minutes did it. Now, I hope they didn't edit up this stuff to make it seem like they were really – well, anyway, yeah, that's another lawsuit. Let's listen to Cut 119 here, and this is Andrew Natasius, the former administrator of USAID, and his look at what Elon is doing. And you got to know, this guy is a super conservative individual. Let's listen.
Okay. I think we're creating a system that violates the separation of powers and the checks and balances that are intended in the Constitution.
Republican Andrew Natasius, former head of USAID, spoke to us in Washington in part because he is not hearing public appeals to reason from fellow Republicans.
I am not a moderate Republican. I am a conservative Republican and a strict constructionist. The reason they're not saying anything, I think they're afraid. Musk has said that he would spend $100 million in primaries on anybody who opposed the president on anything. So I think there's a lot of fear in the city right now.
How do you view this moment in history?
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but it does appear we may be headed towards some sort of a constitutional crisis. I hope that doesn't happen. I pray it doesn't happen, but it's certainly concerning to me what's going on in the city right now. Mm-hmm.
Is the constitutional order breaking down?
We'll see if they refuse to enforce a court order by the Supreme Court. If it gets to the Supreme Court and the Supreme Court rules against the administration on something and they refuse to enforce it, then we will have a constitutional crisis.
What happens then?
Well, I don't know.
No one knows.
No one knows.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And again, you know, this was never about efficiency. It's about ending a republic by a foreigner who is now a citizen. Now, here's part two of that. This is Cut 121 with Andrew Natasius, former administrator of USAID.
President Trump has said, quote, billions of dollars have been stolen. The whole thing is a fraud.
It's utter nonsense. The most accountable aid agency in the world is USAID. I've written actually widely on this subject. 40% of the staff are accountants and lawyers and people trying to make sure no money is stolen. We've created systems to monitor that. What they did was they went back 20 years to try to find things. Mm-hmm. If you have to go back 20 years to find abuse, that means there isn't that much abuse.
USAID spending in 2023 was $38 billion. That's less than 1% of the federal budget. Natasius told us there is waste and occasional fraud like any big agency. Think of the Pentagon. But the money, he says, is watched by officials including those in the OMB, the Office of Management and Budget.
The question is, why did the Congress approve all these contracts and grants and programs all these years? Why did OMB approve them? Why did the State Department, the F Office controls all foreign aid spending. Every line item in the USAID budget is approved by three different bodies.
That's right.
The F Office, mm-hmm. OMB, and the Congressional Oversight Committees, of which there are four. No one caught all these horrible abuses?
Yeah.
That's just not believable.
Doge arrived at USAID January 27th, and that same day, USAID's top 58 managers were given 45 minutes to get out.
The 58 senior managers,
mm-hmm.
How would you describe them?
They're the best professionals I've had the privilege to work with or work under. Their integrity is without question. I think to a person, They believe in the mission of USAID, and they believe in the ideals of public service.
So when you hear something like that, doesn't add a different view of what USAID was doing?
Yes.
Instead of what we heard, the panicky corruption and overspending and needless spending and wasted money that we were hearing from Musk,
mm-hmm.
It's completely contradictory.
Yeah. This is a conservative Republican,
constructionist.
Yes.
Constitutional constructionist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And knows USAID quite well.
Yep. Three or four agencies look over the money they're spending to see if it's being wasted or not.
Yeah.
But Musk knows more than those four other agencies that are overseeing the money being spent and approved somehow. All right. Now, let's listen. I think we have time for this. One of the people that was let go, just a normal everyday employee at USAID. Let's listen to Cut 122.
People are really scared. I think that, you know, 12 days ago, people knew where their next paycheck was coming from. They knew how they were going to pay for their kids' daycare, their medical bills, and then all gone overnight.
All gone overnight for Christina Dry and Adam Dubard, fired this month in the chaotic shutdown of foreign aid distributed by the U.S. Agency for International Development, USAID. More than 8,000 USAID employees were sent home by the administration.
They're not looking for competency. They're not looking for if you're good at your job. They're looking for peer loyalty tests. And if you don't give it, you will be punished.
And they had to leave the building. And these are folks who had decades and decades of public service serving USAID across administrations, from, you know, George Bush to Obama to the first Trump administration. And they were never able to walk back in the building again.
There was no process? No one explained to them why they were being relieved?
To my knowledge, they received an email, and then if they didn't leave the building, they were escorted out of the building.
Wow. How it affects families.
Yes.
Who are losing their jobs, people dedicated to doing a good job. You know, a lot of this stuff, a lot of these layoffs, building shutdowns will have a major effect in the next couple of months or so, maybe a year. You know, and they're even letting people go. Tax season, they're letting IRS agents go. So that's going to possibly slow down some of our refunds
that
we're expecting to get, or even processing this stuff for a long, long period of time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, who are they going to audit? Are they going to audit the billionaires? Probably not. They'll probably continue to audit. By the way, they're trying to move away from auditing just everyday Americans to billionaires and corporations and get the money from them, not from us.
Yep. Hey, coming up in about 15 minutes, Mike McCabe will join us on John and Gordy in the Morning, 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
To be clear, Trump is pre-announcing that he's going to break any law he wants to get whatever he wants. We're not the only ones who know he's breaking the law. So does he. Because if he didn't know that, why this weekend would he post, "He who saves his country does not violate any law." That is wild. Now, I'm no revolutionary. I can't grow the beard. But the phrase, "he who saves his country does not violate any law," is attributed to Napoleon Bonaparte, although it is apparently a fake quote. Yes, we all know what Napoleon actually said. Waterloo, couldn't escape if I wanted to. Oh, 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 oh. He wrote that.
One of the great songs, isn't it?
Oh, I love it.
92.7 WMDX, John and Gordy in the Morning. It is time once again to check in and find out what's going on in the weather with Brittany Merlot.
Good morning, Brittany.
Good morning.
Good morning, guys. How
you look
doing?
Very comfortable in a huge, gigantic sweater.
Yeah, it's the only way to keep warm after this extended cold spell. I know. I can't get out of it.
I know. Now that it's hitting the East Coast, of course, you know, CNN's broadcasting it.
Yes.
No one knew that we were freezing to death in this state, but that's all right. Okay. Who cares about the flyover country in the Midwest?
I know.
And you can't even really snowmobile in weather like this, can you? Or can
they
you?
Still are. Yep, I'm not, they are, but people still are.
Yeah. So how long is the cold snap going to last?
What's happening here?
I'd say today's probably the last day, if you even want to consider today, because we're going to be warmer than we've been the past few days. We're going to reach highs at about 10 degrees. So our wind chills by this afternoon will feel about zero. That's the warmest we've felt in a good few days. So that's pretty nice. By tomorrow, we'll see a ton of sunshine. Highs will be in the low 20s for tomorrow and Friday. Then we'll climb to the upper 20s on Saturday. And we're still looking at a major warm up moving in by Sunday. So we're going to be getting more cloud cover, though, unfortunately. Probably some fog with these warmer temperatures because we'll be above freezing Sunday, highs in the upper 30s. Mm. We'll be into the mid 40s on Monday, holding on to the mid 40s for Tuesday and Wednesday, and we even stay into the upper 30s for the rest of next week. So a lot of melting, a lot of warmth, but we are looking at chances of even potentially rain on Monday.
Please bring it on.
spring.
I want
not
it
that
to
far
happen.
Away. Okay. Well, that's light at the end of the tunnel for us all. Thank you, Brittany.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're welcome. Warm thoughts, everyone.
All right. Yeah, warm thoughts.
Very good. Great. Thanks, Brittany. That's Brittany Merlot, our Civic Media meteorologist. This portion of the John and Gordy Show is brought to you by David J. Frank, your turnkey one-stop landscaping resource celebrating 65 years in business. They take care of it all, residential and commercial, lawn care, flower care, trimming, shaping, pruning. David J. Frank, the largest landscape contractor in southern Wisconsin with branches in Madison, Milwaukee, Kenosha. And check out their great website, davidjfrank.com. That's davidjfrank.com.
All right, let's go right to the phones here on John and Gordy. I'm John, and that's Gordy.
Over here.
Guy over there on the right.
Yes.
If you're watching, I hope you're watching it on the app.
Sure.
On X or YouTube or Facebook.
Let's find out if Joe is watching us or listening to Joe, good morning. How are you capturing the John and Gordy Show?
Yeah, how are you listening?
Yeah.
It's coming in through my ear and not through my eyes. Now, I should get to do this sometime. I have time, you know, to do that. But I'm only using one sensory organ in order to take you guys in. That alone is overwhelming.
Wow.
Are you listening on the app?
That is overwhelming.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I'm listening on the app.
Yeah.
I'm not listening on over air, but I'm listening on the app. And it's fantastic. Really good show, you guys.
Thank you.
I wanted to just give a heads up to everybody that you had spoken the previous hour about the Trump Golf Index.
Yes.
And fabulous little thing. And I would highly recommend it to anybody. It also includes a running tally or chart of the price of eggs and the price of gasoline, which is extremely useful.
Oh.
Yeah. So check it out. And I think it's something that you should return to maybe once a week, something like that, to just as a running thread, because obviously that's something that's not going to be going away in this administration. Our republic might be going away, but his golfing is not going to go away. So, and I wanted to thank you for bringing up Steve Bannon and his description of Musk as, quote, a parasitic illegal immigrant. And I just wanted
Isn't that
to
great?
Say, it's what's so great about it is that I had been giving him names of Nazi boy ketamine addict given a free rein by Trump to dig through our financial information. But that's kind of long and cumbersome. You know, the parasitical really gets at it right away. And it speaks to, you know, the fact of being direct is a really important thing. And I think the other thing that's nice about that is you can tie that in with the information that we've received in the last year that Musk and his government contract is getting $8 million a day from the government at the same time where he's hollowing out this government. So if you can add on the parasitic illegal immigrant whose companies are getting $8 million a day from government contracts, I mean, that is just, boy, there we are, right at it.
I
think that it's important to be, you know, clear, and that, you know, what we're suffering from is a nut boy given free rein in the government. But great show, and I would really recommend going back to the Trump golf tracker, because that's what better way to keep track of the man.
We will do that.
Yeah. Yep. Thank you for that All right. reminder, Joe.
Thanks, Joe.
We appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay.
For checking that out. Yeah, that's mm-hmm. pretty good. We'll have to.
I'm on it right now. You said the percentage last time, or at least last time you checked for his percentage
yes.
time spent 17%. Golfing was
17%.
It's up. It's jumped up to 26%.
Wow.
Whoa. Okay.
More than a quarter of his time
that's
in office.
Ridiculous.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, you know. Oh, it's good. Maybe that story was a couple of days old.
He's got nothing else to do. Elon's running the show, so why not go golfing?
We've got a couple of holes in. What the hell, you know? Yeah. Yeah, Elon's doing all the dirty work for him, so mm-hmm. what the heck, right? Hey, I've got, we won't have time this morning for this, but I managed to get this Canadian comedian.
Yeah.
Now, they're promoting this guy, his concerts and all that stuff, but they've got a couple of sections that the Canadians have released onto X, and it is fantastic stuff. I'll be playing it for you. This guy knows how to sum up the Trump administration very well, just like Steve Bannon did. Mm. You will love this stuff. I wish we had a chance to do it this morning, but we don't, but we're going to have
Mike McCabe
in here. He's got, you know what? I want to get his take on what's going on with the government.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes. And he's got a latest Substack mm-hmm. article that we are also going to talk about, and that has to do with farming.
And he's coming up next, right after the Midwest Farm Report, here on John and Gordy in the Morning on 92.7 WMDX.
The birds are chirping, the sun is coming up, and the coffee's brewing. It's another beautiful morning in Madison, Wisconsin. What could make this day any more perfect? How about the John and Gordy Show on 92.7 FM WMDX?
Yeah, snow.
You think so?
Snow would make it better.
He's got enough snow.
I know.
More snow?
No, I guess we're not going to get more snow, but I'm good with what we have right now, and unfortunately, it's going to melt away. It's going to be rained on and all that other stuff.
Yeah,
so,
well, what are you going to do about it?
Well, you can't do much.
No, you can't. But let me just remind you that this portion of the John and Gordy Morning Show is brought to you by Verlo Mattress.
Yes.
Their Verlo's President's Day sale continues. But you better get in there soon, because it'll end eventually, a little bit later on this month. But during the President's Day sale, you can get big savings and support your dreams, it says here. Yeah, you can save up to $250, $500, $850 on factory direct prices. And they have free 0% financing available for 6, 12, or 18 months. It's the President's Sale continuing at the Madison East Side location or West Side location. Go to Verlo.com for more information.
Maybe they'll have another sale day if we celebrate Trump's birthday as a national holiday.
That's in the works.
Well, I can't wait.
Yeah.
I hope we get the day off, too, you know.
Yeah.
I work for the census. I need a day off or two. They take days off all the time. Every minor holiday you can think of, we get off.
Well, that's nice.
Oh, in the studio, Mike McCabe from Substack, blogger there and author, of course. Welcome to the John and Gordy Morning Show.
Good morning.
Good to have you back.
Good to see you. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We were talking off the air about cross-country skiing, and you got out. What was the shoe wear that you had on?
Snowshoeing,
yeah.
This past weekend.
Have they made advances in snowshoeing?
It's pretty much the old technology.
It is still that.
And you did this at Warner Park.
Yeah. Yeah.
Didn't realize they had a good place for snowshoeing.
It's a big park, and there's a lot of wooded area and some paths through there. So, yeah, had a good time snowshoeing.
Cool.
Wooded area meaning that it's great to snowshoe if you can just hide your snowshoeing. Isn't it kind of, cloddy, you know, I mean, just kind of,
It's hard to do, isn't it?
It seems hard to do.
It's really like walking, John.
Well, I have a problem doing that. But I mean, we were talking about cross-country skiing, and I was going out with a woman that loved cross-country skiing, and we went up to Peninsula Park, and I had just started learning how to cross-country ski. And Peninsula Park, if you've never been up there, very hilly. So you had to create your own tracks uphill and then go downhill. And I'm not good at downhill skiing at all. So it was a disaster and a learning experience. But I did get a little bit better at cross-country skiing.
Snowshoeing safer. You can go uphill, downhill.
You just, can.
No problems.
No problems.
Yeah.
But I love cross-country skiing, too.
Yeah. Yeah. We definitely may have to get some of that in before the snow melts.
Yes.
All right. So, you know, your latest Substack article was interesting. It was about farming in many ways. But it was... let me just ask you this. I mean, it was not uplifting. Your storytelling was not uplifting to me, but does your book contain all of these kinds of stories? Gordy, you read the book.
I did read the book.
No.
The book is completely fictional.
It's fictional, but you're using, you know, actual experiences in a fictionalized way.
But these particular experiences of mine...
Yes.
Are not included in the book. The book's not about me.
Name of the book?
Miracles Along County Q.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to know.
Yeah.
Because this was, these were, you know, very traumatic experiences.
Oh, I don't. Growing up on a farm,
Well, you had your hand impaled.
I did. Tiny of a pitchfork went through my hand.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's start there.
Yeah. That's true story.
How'd that go?
Well, and as I said in the article, the way it went, as with so many people, their experiences on the farm, I wasn't taken to the doctor. My mom just wrapped my hand in a poultice of Epsom salts and to ward off infection, and we carried on with the work, and that was pretty typical of farm life. We didn't have health insurance, so a trip to the doctor, we paid for every trip to the doctor out of pocket, and not having health insurance is one of the ways we kept the farm profitable because we didn't have to pay health insurance premiums, but we also didn't pay many doctor bills either, and including when somebody was pretty seriously injured.
Yes.
And that was part of life. But, you know, we felt blessed because we were able to keep the farm going and keep it in the black. And we had a neighbor that wasn't so fortunate, and one of our neighbors hung himself in the shed when he got a foreclosure notice from the bank, and they were going to take the farm, and that was part of what rural life was like, and what my own upbringing was like. But to me, what you also learned was taking care of each other, and the interdependence of families was really astonishing. And as I write in the article, I got to take part in two barn raisings. During my youth, and one was a neighbor up the road who lost a barn to a tornado, another one to a fire, and it's an amazing sight to see hundreds of people come from all around, some from a considerable distance.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
And they bring tools, and they bring nails and bolts and nuts, and they bring ropes and pulleys and they bring food, to feed everybody, and to see a barn go up in a single day—that's
outlandish. I can't even imagine what that would be like. What about the roofing? I know you get the walls up, and you put the roof on.
Yeah, you put the roof on too. The only thing that doesn't get done is a little bit of finishing work. Mm-hmm. A few finishing touches get done in the days after, but the whole frame goes up, the siding goes up, the roof is put in place.
Wow.
Everything is done in a single day. It's an amazing sight to behold.
Yeah.
And it's just hundreds of people, and kids are bringing beams to over to the older folks who are
those
putting
are
them
huge
in place.
Beams.
And, well, you know, and the kids do what they're capable of doing, and some of them are just carrying nails and nuts and bolts to people, or you know, going fetching a saw or a hammer. So the kids do what they need to do and can do, but everybody's a part of it. And to me, it's sort of a metaphor of what's missing in our country currently. Mm-hmm. As I say in the piece I wrote, we're at a moment where we need a little more we and a lot less me in our society. And to see a community come together when something bad happens is remarkably powerful. Well, so I see it as an uplifting message. Now, you know, it starts with
it is with
suffering. Yeah. You know, mm-hmm. people who've trying come to deal across with hard life. Times. Yeah. But what's uplifting about it is how people will rally and help folks out.
Well, I know, you know, a lot of those barns have a lower level on them. You have to kind of build over the mm-hmm. footprint of the original barn that disappeared because of a fire. Mm-hmm. And so you have to kind of traverse that somehow. I don't know how you do that. And plus, a lot of the walls of those barns were just limestone and cement. Mm-hmm. So that's got to be hard to kind of mount a level barn on, right? Mm-hmm. So
it was
a lot of work.
I witnessed it done twice.
Yeah.
Now, Mike, how old were you when some of this was going on? I mean, were you... really?
Well, the two barn raisings that I participated in, I was a teenager.
Okay.
Kind of one was in my early teens, one was in my somewhat later teens. The incident where we had a neighbor commit suicide,
that's what I was
that
wondering.
Happened shortly before I graduated from high school and actually had a pretty big impact on my decision not to continue on with farming. If I had been born 10 years later or 10 years earlier, I might have taken a swing at taking over the farm. But it was such a brutal moment. So many farmers were struggling. So many were going out of business. Foreclosures were rampant at that time. And when you watch a neighbor, you know, when you watch neighbors bury a father and you think, is that going to be me? You know, am I going to reach that level of desperation and maybe I should go off to college and get an education and find another line of work. But if I had been born just a slightly different moment, I might have chosen that. My dad definitely wanted me to, he lobbied me intensely not to go to college.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're talking with Mike McCabe, Substack author and blogger. So does this sense of community in the rural areas still exist with, more and more family farms going out of business and corporate farming taking over? I mean,
there's a different vibe now.
You can still see the Amish community still doing barn raising.
Yep.
But for the rest of us, are there still... I can't imagine there aren't too many barn raisings going on.
Yeah, they're pretty rare now, except in the Amish community. And we were surrounded by Amish communities. They were very close by. And so actually some of the people who came to the barn raising, that I was involved in, were Amish folks.
Yeah,
and they really, they knew a thing or
they
two about raising a barn.
Right.
And so they pitched right in and they were great neighbors. Mm-hmm. Chose a very different way of life than the rest of people in that area, but they were terrific neighbors and they were right there lending a hand.
Yeah, it was a story that not a lot of city folk heard. It'd be great if that story, barn raisings and the community coming together to do something like that, were kind of spread throughout the state. So we all knew that was going on. Mm-hmm. And, we kind of have had a mutual respect going on as well. But was there something going on at that time that would put these farms out of business? Mm-hmm. Was there?
When I was young, bankers used to make visits out to the farm, mm-hmm. to try to convince you to borrow money to put up a new silo, to build onto your barn, to buy another 40 cows, to expand your operations, to buy some extra land so that you could cultivate more. They were literally handing out money. And when prices were high or higher, and you were making some money, it all seemed good. But then prices would collapse, and then you were struggling to make your payments, and the bankers didn't hesitate to say, "Well, you're not paying off your loans anymore, so we're taking the farm." They would take everything, and so you know, farming was always one of those things where you're kind of living on the edge. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you're making money, sometimes you're not. And you eke through the tough times, but when really tough times come along and the banks never lose, mm-hmm. they make their money one way or the other, and sometimes it's through ruining families.
Yeah, you know, I work for the census, and I'm not able to tell you what I get as answers for our survey that we have, but I can tell you that I do interview these people besides my survey, because I really want to know, what farmers are going through, what the ups and downs are. And one of the things that I came across was one farmer. I asked him how farming was going for him because of all these things that are happening in the economy. And this was during the first Trump term. And it was he was very depressed, very angry. And it wasn't just about the tariffs. But, we have to go here. We got to take a break.
Hold that thought. We'll get back to it when we return with John and Gordy in the morning with our special guest, Mike McCabe, right after this.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
WMDX, John and Gordy in the morning, our special guest, Mike McCabe from Substack, author, and we were talking about farming life and my survey that I have for the census. I always talk to farmers in addition to the survey because I want to know more about their experiences, and it was during the first Trump administration with the tariffs and soybeans and, trying to figure out what crops they wanted to plant next in case, soybeans, the market became, even worse than it was. But anyway, I talked to this farmer, and I just thought, well, I'll ask about the soybean thing, And all of a sudden, he went into this story about how his wife was sick, she had cancer, and he was wondering if it wasn't the drinking water that they had. And he said all the farmers around also had health problems, mm-hmm. and it was just a really depressing story, And these are things that are happening in rural areas that we don't really hear about very often. Mm-hmm. Their concerns, the things that are going on with them, and you mentioned as we were talking during the commercial.
There's a place in Iowa, by the way, called Cancer Alley.
Wow.
Yeah, because up and down these country roads, there's one case after one case of cancer after another.
I want to get a little conceptual here. You said there are tough moments in the farms. I think it could be a lot better on the farms. Maybe if government had some way of making it a little bit easier, a little bit better for farmers, mm-hmm. maybe some kind of, I'm sorry to say this for some of the farmers listening right now, but a regulation or two. I mean, we had dairy problems because we had oversupply of milk. We don't have a way of controlling the supply of milk, which seems like a no-brainer to have something in place because we're the dairy state. I think they're being told that this is the way life is. And I don't think that's a very good message. I think there is a better way of life.
Well, I got to actually live on a farm during a time when we had the old New Deal supply management system in place that was created under FDR all those years ago. And basically what it would do is when prices got too high, where consumers were paying too much, the government would release surplus produce onto the market and bring the prices down. And then when prices got too low and the farmers were in risk of going out of business, they would buy up commodities and store them. Mm-hmm. And it worked. It worked for consumers and it worked for farmers. It kept farmers in business and it kept ample food on the shelves at a reasonable price for consumers. And we abandoned that system. And I was actually still on the farm when we started that process of abandoning that system in this country. And the argument was, well, we got to get farmers weaned from subsidies. Well, agriculture today is as heavily subsidized as it ever was, if not more so. Mm-hmm. But what we're doing now is we're subsidizing overproduction. And then we dump surplus products on other countries and ruin their farm economies.
Exactly.
And what happens is by subsidizing overproduction, we're constantly just bringing prices down, and the smaller producers end up going broke. Yeah. And we're driving millions of people off the land. We've lost 4 million farms in America since we abandoned those old New Deal supply management programs that were in place and served our country well for several generations.
It still could.
So I'm a big advocate of returning to a modern day version of that supply management system. It's good for consumers. It's good for farmers. It's good for rural communities. It's not just farmers, because when farmers go broke, then the implement dealer closes and the feed mill closes and the local shops in town close, and it hurts those rural economies where the people aren't farming. They're living in small towns.
It's getting even tougher now, you know, with high-tech farm equipment. You know, everything costs so much more than it did back then. So, yeah, there are problems like
There's a better kind of agricultural policy that's possible, because we actually lived under it for decades, and it worked.
Yeah.
It worked. It kept people in business. And once we abandoned it, I watched the farms start to fall, and I saw, you know, I went to a funeral of a neighbor who hung himself in the shed because he got a foreclosure notice, and it, you know, it builds toughness, you know, and resilience in you, but you know, it also builds a consciousness that there is a better way to do this, and a better policy
but
that our country could
we're
have.
We're told that this is the way life is, you know, just tough it out. And I disagree with that philosophy completely. And you reminded me of that story. I did not remember that. That's how they dealt with oversupply. That is a fantastic. That's a great system. Yep. And not only that, it could certainly supply food stamp programs.
Yeah, when the prices got low, the farm, you know, the government would buy up some sure. commodity. They would when prices were too high for consumers, they would release surplus commodities and bring the prices down. And then when farmers were going broke, they would buy commodities to make sure that the farmers were making money.
Can we talk about green and gold real quick or no?
Well, if you can keep it in 20 seconds or less. You like the movie?
Yeah. I did.
Okay.
You know, it has a little bit of a Packer theme. If it ends up going to streaming or you can get it on DVD, I really recommend it.
Did it reflect farm life?
Absolutely. It's a really nice reflection of farm life, and it also shows community rallying around people who are struggling.
Excellent. All right.
Mike McCabe, author of Miracles Along County Q. You appearing anywhere for book signing?
Sunday in Milwaukee.
All right.
First Unitarian Society. And I understand they've got it, you know, you can watch it online as well as in person.
Good. Cool.
Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next Wednesday. That's going to do it for John and Gordy. Stephanie Miller is next. Tomorrow, we will have Busted Pencils' Tim Slecker with us talking about education. Have a great day.
As we were saying. John Gordy Show.
John Gordy in the morning.
As we were saying.
Let the sun shine.
It's the John Gordy Show.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community.
Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.